Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're again talking about the kingdom of God, and we were talking about the statement that Christ made in Matthew 20:25 and Mark 10:42 and in Luke 22:25-29 when he was fulfilling his personal prophecy of taking away the kingdom from the Pharisees and appointing it to another group. And he could do this because he was both king and high priest, as the cousin of John the Baptist, who baptized him and said, "This is the one who is to come after me." He was taking on the position that John the Baptist had established through the people who kept coming to him to get baptized instead of going to Herod and getting baptized in the laver of his golden temple. You see, there was a division already taking place before Christ came, a division of principles. They were operating in the temple by a Corban that made the word of God to none effect because it was based on statutory requirements of members who had signed up for this social welfare system that was a snare, as Paul talks about, as David had talked about, as Proverbs talks about, that it's a stumbling block because it's based on covetousness, forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. That's totally against what Christ said. Christ said, live by love, by faith, by charity. Rome had once done that. But now Rome wasn't living by that. It had introduced in its own system of social welfare by entitlements. And this changes the environment of society, the nature of society, the nature of the way in which people relate to one another. Communities are no longer communities. They are divided because they don't need to depend on their neighbor. They don't need to depend upon the people in their congregations and congregation of congregations. They now depend on somebody who exercises authority. So Jesus says, and he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles, he's talking about kings because he's preaching a kingdom, exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise that authority upon them are called benefactors. They exercise this authority one over the other, and they're called benefactors because they provide benefits, gifts, gratuities, and benefits. Back in those days, Plutarch said, the greatest destroyers of liberty, liberty is granted to us by God. We are endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. But the greatest destroyer of those liberties granted to us by God are those who spread amongst us gifts, gratuities, and benefits. Those are the benefactors. And if they provide those benefactors not out of love, but because they force people to contribute, you've changed the whole nature of society. You've changed the nature and direction of society. Society is now going another way. And 150 years ago in America, most of the needy of society were taken care of by charity. Today, almost nobody is taken care of by charity. There still is charities around, but they are superfluous to the state-run welfare systems that are not charity, but provided by men who exercise authority one over the other. Right there in the text, people pass over it, pass over it, pass over it. I can't tell you how many ministers don't even know where that's spoken of in the Bible. Jesus went on to say, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. He appointed it right there. The Corban that they operated on in that kingdom of Christ, that kingdom of the apostles, that government of the apostles. The church is one form of government. It's a form of government that operates by free will offerings and faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. It is motivated out of a faith in the way of Christ, which is the way of love. It's not motivated out of a system that forces your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. And like I said, 150 years ago, the church was that welfare system in America. Today, the church is in the business of ear tickling. It's in the business of making you feel like you're saved without you actually turning around and going back the ways of Christ. There was a huge change that took place amongst those who got baptized. They no longer applied for the free bread and circuses of Rome if they were Romans like Putin and Linus. They now took care of one another. If they were in Judea, they no longer could go to the treasuries of the Pharisees and apply for the benefits of their Corban. They tended to the daily ministration, which we see in Acts 6, through their ministers, gathering together in these tens, hundreds, and thousands. In the book, Thy Kingdom Come, that we offer you for free on our websites at hisholychurch.org, it shows you how these systems of the early church operated by the same tens, hundreds, and thousands, the Dechens, the hundredsmen. And you see it all throughout history. And the bonds were not ones of oaths and contracts and covenants or constitutions. Their bond was love for one another on a local basis and in a broader basis through this network of congregations, free assemblies with ministers that were appointed by Christ, that they are a separate system of social welfare. Now, today, in many countries, the government operates social welfare. It's literally religious. What is the definition of religion? Religion is not what we think it is today, because if you look up the word religion in today's dictionary, you will get one definition, that it's what you think about God. That's what religion is. That's what most people think religion is. You know, you're a member of this religion or of that religion, and they have guys who write what God is all about, and you believe this guy, you can join that religion. You believe this guy, you can join that religion. But that's not what the definition of religion was back 200 years ago or more, when they signed the Constitution of the United States and when they had the American Revolution. The definition of religion was how you performed your duty to God and your fellow man. That was religion. And what was your duty? Love your neighbor as yourself. Take care of him when he has true needs. Strengthen him when he is poor. Don't just inure him to the idea of being poor. Strengthen him. See, that was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. They had a system that in a time of affluence, they did not strengthen the poor. They weakened the poor. They made them more dependent. Pure religion, according to James 1:27, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Visit meaning to take care of them in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted by the world. We talked before about the word world, and the word world is translated from five different Greek words, and some of those words mean age, some of those words kind of mean inhabited places. One of those words means constitutional order or system of government. And he says, be unspotted from those systems of the Gentiles who exercise lordship one over the other, but call themselves benefactors. So that's what he's saying. Religion, you take care of it through faith, hope, and charity, through free will offerings, through love for one another, and you will create the bonds of Christ. Christ rejected, he talks about, get ye from me, you workers of iniquity. Why? Because they were not taking care of one another. When they were hungry, when they were naked, when they were thirsty, they were not doing that. Oh, they had their religion, what they believed about God, but they were not taking care of one another. And he says, get ye from me, you workers of iniquity, because what you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do also to me. So those who were doing that were welcome into the kingdom. And it's interesting, people who have no religion, you'll find some people that are very good at taking care of one another. They just have it written in their hearts and their minds. They are closer to the kingdom than many of those people who go to churches today, who pay large sums of money to the preachers who are the ear ticklers, telling you that you're saved, don't worry about it, there's nothing you have to do. Well, you are saved by faith. You're not saved by works, but if you have real faith, you will have the works. James also says, faith without works is dead. Religion is only mentioned five times in the Bible. And most of the time, it's not spoken of in a good sense. Here in James, it talks about pure religion. Undefiled before God and the Father is this, that you're taking care of those widows and orphans and the needy of your society, not using the power of the Gentile governments that exercise authority one over the other, but doing it by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. Until you do that, you will not be at liberty. You will go into bondage and you will cry out to God when things get worse and worse and worse, like we see in Samuel 8. But God will not hear you in that day, because you haven't been going the ways of Christ. Religion is how you take care of those needy, by faith, hope, and charity, or by force. Your choice. Jesus Christ was the king of a government that did not exercise authority one over the other, but it was an efficient, well-disciplined. That was one of the things that the Roman emperors were so concerned about the Christians. They praised the union and discipline of the Christians. Well, that discipline wasn't top-down. It was bottom-up, because that's where the love comes, from the bottom of your heart to the bottom of my heart, going up, taking care of one another, so that the highest amongst you is not a ruler, but the best servant of servants of servants. And Christ goes on and explains that in those same quotes. And if we had more time, we would explain it to you too. But anyway, we're going to go on and talk about what it meant to be the king of Israel. Why in Colossians 2:14 it says, blotting out the handwritten ordinances that was against us. That's where the what should have been for your welfare had become a snare. And the handwritten ordinances regulated your very life and your charity. There was no charity. Everything was by force. Until John the Baptist, everybody was trying to use force to establish a utopian-type heavenly government. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work by force. It works by love. Deuteronomy 17:16, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, meaning the bondage of Egypt. What was the bondage of Egypt? 20% of everything you earned had to go to the government. And through crafts of state, that burden grew. That's the bondage of Egypt. Are you in the bondage of Egypt today? Have you returned to that system? Well, that's because you did not hear the true, whole gospel of the kingdom. Patrick Henry said that he wanted to know the whole truth and provide for it. And that's what we need. We need to know the whole truth and provide for it. John 9:22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he was the anointed, that he was the king, that Jesus was the king, he should be put out of the synagogue. Synagogue meaning congregations. If you were put out, no more welfare for you. No more social welfare, no more Corbin payments for you. You would not be taken care of, neither would your parents be taken care of. That's the way that system worked, because you were opting out by getting baptized into the kingdom of God. And that's what the early Christians were doing. Today, everybody wants it both ways. You cannot have it both ways. May peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.